All right, if you will take your Bibles and meet me over there in Hebrews chapter 9. Tonight's message is not going to be covering much, but there's a lot that we can learn and discern when we talk about the extent and the realm of sin. And you and I already know this, that everything in this world is impacted by sin. When I was in high school, I remember when people would go through tragedies of losing family members. I had already went through that difficult time. My mother died when I was in second grade, and my grandmother, who I was very close to, died when I was in eighth grade. So I was not a stranger to that kind of, you know, loss. It was always interesting to me how the people in my school, when they lost a grandparent or they lost an aunt or uncle or maybe even a mother or a father, how they would react, you know, to those types of things. And you would hear people say things like, you know, it just shouldn't be this way. This isn't the way that it's supposed to be. And they don't realize the truth of that statement. You know, we were not designed to die. But because of sin, this sin has lasting effects. And I would always marvel at the way that people would handle people's deaths. You would hear things like, well, and it, you would never hear the opposite. You would hear this, I know they're in a better place. I never heard, not one time, someone say, well, they're in hell now. You know, and it's interesting. Why do we think that way? Why do we automatically assume that people are good enough to get to heaven? Because the Bible doesn't teach that. Well, I think we assume that because we don't know what the Scripture says about sin. This study, I hope it's been enlightening for you. I know we took a break last week to talk about an issue that was just, it was really bothering me, and I wanted to make sure that we covered it. But as we continue this study, sin does not just affect you and me. It affects the natural world, the animal world, and of course, mankind. But we see that sin is something that there needs to be a payment for it. There's not this idea that if we try hard enough that we're going to overcome sin. I find the study of artificial intelligence rather comical, I'll be honest with you. If you take a look at the technology right now and the people that are leading the charge on this technology, they have really diluted themselves to what intelligence is. Okay, so they'll create a program, and the program is fed information. Okay, let me just explain to you real quick what a computer is. It's just ones and zeros. It's electronic electricity passing through and charging different things so that it can write a program, which we call a script, and that script is then executed when it's told to do something, when there's a trigger. For example, when you press the power button on your computer, it sends an electric signal that fires up all the components on that motherboard. And then from there, the RAM is isolated and the processor gets going. And next thing you know, you see a beautiful picture with a nice login screen. And everything that you're doing from that point, you are telling that computer what to do. I am not an IT professional, but I can tell you that if you have computer problems, it is your fault. That computer is doing exactly what you have told it to do. And the problem often is we don't know what to tell it to do. But it's funny. We have somehow gotten into this deception that these inanimate objects are able to think for themselves. They're not. There is nothing like the human mind. There's nothing like the soul. It's not something that we can touch and feel. Sure, I can give Trent a high five, but that's not our souls high-fiving, you know? That's our bodies. And these bodies are just like those electrical components. They are going to degrade. They are going to get worse and worse, and they'll need to be replaced, and one will have to be done away with. But people are so hung up on artificial intelligence. Really, you hear things like, and you see creations in Japan and in China of these lifelike robots, and it is so creepy. It's so creepy, but the intent is to just make things as realistic to creation as possible. Trying to get this computer to listen to what you say, and then it responds. If you have a smart speaker at home, you are familiar with this. You say, hey, something, whatever the name of that device is, and you can change the name, and that device is trained to be listening to you. Let me tell you something. You think that device is not on. It is listening all the time. It has to be in order for that command to be executed. Think about it. It's not able to hear if it's not listening first. And then you say something and it's ready instantaneously with a command. But that thing has been programmed that when you hear it say one thing, it will execute the listening command. It's not thinking for itself. It's just instructed. But right now, artificial intelligence for some people who are multimillionaires, even billionaires, is the answer to the human problem. If we can just get rid of the body, if we can just get rid of the necessity to live off of food and off of social interaction, then we'll be able to get to a place where we can live in perfect harmony. Okay? We saw sometime last year, or actually it was early this year, this idea of the metaverse, in which people can literally, you know, my parents always told me that you're sitting too close to the TV. Now we want to strap TVs to our face. That just goes against all kind of conventional wisdom, doesn't it? But it's interesting that there are devices now that are so good at providing escapism that you can really put yourself somewhere else. And there's a whole idea out there that this is the future. This is what we're heading towards. And that the immaterial part of each one of us can be taken out of the body. The body's the limitation. Why? Well, because the body needs to be fed. And the body needs to have care. And the body does not last forever. And the answer is to get out of the body and plug into something that will never end. And we know that's not true. We don't have computers that were from 1995 anymore working in our homes. They rusted out. They need to be replaced. Well, you want to? If there's anybody here that knows about replacing computers, it's me. Because it seems like the one that's up there always working our live stream is just limited lifespan, you know? There's always something going wrong. We replaced the battery in this laptop here. It's a six-hour job. I still don't know if I did it right. This may blow up one day because I didn't put one screw in the right place. I don't know. But it's funny that the solution right now is to get us outside of the body. But this sin does not only affect the body, it affects every part of the world. I want to go over a couple of points here as far as the extent of sin. It doesn't just stop with humanity. It goes on. As to heaven itself, when we want to talk about sin, if you read the account of Lucifer when he became the fallen angel, these things happened in heaven. Sin began there. And the extent of sin is reaching there. Isn't that an interesting concept to think about? You know, I remember watching movies as kids where, you know, whenever heaven was depicted, it was, you know, the little angels with their feet kicked back and they had their wings and they're floating along and there's very angelic choruses and things like that. And that's what heaven is. Well, at one point, sin was there in heaven. And that sin has affected you and me. So it doesn't just stop here between mankind. It also reaches into heaven as well. And then salvation is completed in heaven. So I want you to take a look here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24 on this point. It says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands." Now, pause here for a moment. The holy places made with hands, this verse is comparing Jesus to the high priest, who is the representative of the people of Israel before God. And every year when he would offer the yearly sacrifices, he would prepare himself and go into the temple and then go further into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, where only he could be, and then present the offering for the people. Jesus did not enter a temple, as it says here, made with hands. If you look at Dubai in just the past 50 years, there are some amazing things that have been made there. It's a social it just has boomed with technology. I inquire you tonight to look up Dubai and look at the technology that is there in the buildings and the architecture and all these different things. And we have seen some wonderful creations made with man's hands. That's one of my fascinations with watches, the design and how you can take these things apart and the structure of it. So the temple was something so beautiful that the instructions were given by God and the people followed the instructions to build this temple. But Jesus has not entered into a physical temple. He's entered into something so much greater than that. Look at what it says here at the end of verse 24, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Great truths that are written here, but salvation is completed in heaven exactly where sin began. Now, in regards to earth, I want you to look in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. The notes that I'm using here are from Dr. Mark Cambron's book, and he talked about this as the vegetable kingdom. I just thought that was funny. I don't know why I saw little tomatoes and cucumbers and corn walking around with crowns on their head. But I don't know, that's just where my mind went. But we're talking about the natural kingdom, and when Adam and Eve sinned, the curse extended to the serpent first, and then upon to the woman, and then upon to Adam, and now upon the entire earth. Look here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and thou hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. The ground is now, it is tough now. It requires digging up. It requires a mixture of water. It has to be taken care of. No good farmer just goes out into his field and throws seed around without first preparing the ground. This is a part of the first curse. Have you ever done manual labor outside on the earth? It's not easy. We have to build tools just to be able to do certain things with the ground. And if you don't have enough water in your soil and that's not maintained, whatever you plant won't take hold and it'll die. By the way, if you're looking to kill a plant, give it to me. I am horrible with plants. We have there's a little strip in our on our little property. We live in a townhouse, and literally it's like an L of mulch and rocks and different things, and there's ground there. There's earth there. And I can't tell you how many, well, really I can't tell you. It's three separate plants that I go to Home Depot and I sweat and sweat and sweat and dig in the ground and dig in the ground and plant these things, and I water them and I water them and everything's fine, and then they die. I don't have the green thumb. I have the thumb of death, I guess, when it comes to gardening. I'm trying to do everything that I can, but that's not God's original intent. And isn't it funny that we're talking about artificial intelligence being the way into the future, and this is going to solve all of our problems because we get out of all the things that are physical? You know, in the artificial universe, you can just load up a document that looks like a wonderful waterfall. In Mark Zuckerberg's presentation on Facebook, it's about 30 minutes long, where he pitched the metaverse and officially changed Facebook's company name to Meta, you actually see that people could load up and they're at a desk and they raise their head up and they're looking at a beautiful waterfall oasis, just a wonderful scene that they can change at any time. If they want it to be space, they can do that. If they want it to be Canada, they can do that. And they can do all those different things, and it just takes away all the physical restrictions and we can load things up however we please. That's because this earth is cursed. It's under a curse. And it will remain that way until the Lord comes back. And listen, folks, even then will we see this earth destroyed. It's going to be consumed by fire. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. People often ask me questions like, what do you think heaven is going to be like? Or do you think we'll have steak in heaven or whatever it may be like? Will they have my favorite food there? Will, you know, will it be as beautiful as, and then they'll list a place that they've seen. And folks, I believe it's going to be much more than that. Okay, now I've tasted some good steak in my life. I can't wait to, whatever's in heaven, it's better than that. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to what the design of the new heaven and the new earth will be. And while I can marvel at the beauty here, I can also know that this is not as it was intended to be. These things come and these things go. There's nothing on this planet that lasts forever. Continuing here in verse 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19 there, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. From dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Wow. This is the whole cycle of life. This is what it's all about. You know, I really do believe that there are a lot of people who are so concerned with how they shape their dust, how they look, how they appear to others. And all this is just going to return right back into the ground. And people get caught up in it. They spend their entire lives working for a piece of property or working to attain more pieces of property. It's all going to be gone. This is not as good as it could be. I want a piece of property in heaven. Amen? I want something that can not be robbed by thieves or where the moth doth eat and corrupt. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but there was a man who lived across the street from us. His name was Pat. That's all I know. A sweet old man, very tall. And one day, Pat came over to our house and gave me a red velvet suit. I mean, this thing was nice, okay? And to me, I'm like, you know, I don't know how old I was. I didn't own any suits of myself. The extent of my fashion was a fish tie that was a clip-on. Okay, and I wore that for years until my uncle said, we're done with that. But I remember putting on that suit, and I'm straightening it up, and I didn't dry clean it at all. I mean, that thing had to be in that bag for years. And as I'm, like, rolling my shoulders into the suit, it's becoming looser and looser. And I'm thinking, I'm really breaking this in. And then all of a sudden, it begins to drop off of my shoulder. And the entire suit it's ripped in the back. It's gone. It was totally gone. I literally took two pieces off of my body. And the suit had been eaten up by moths. It was gone. I'm sure Pat, years ago, whenever he bought that suit, put it in that bag and said, one of these days I'm going to put this thing back on. Well, thanks to the curse, these things do continually decay. So it's not just affecting you and me, it's affecting the places that we live. And in regards to the animal kingdom, look there in Isaiah up here on the screen just for time's sake. This is how it's going to be in the kingdom. Okay, it's interesting. The evolutionists will always say things like, well, if you know, everything was at peace in the garden, all these different things, then why do all these lions have these sharp teeth, and why do they have predatorial characteristics for them to hunt and all these different things? All I know is this is how it's going to be, and this is how I believe it was intended to be. Read this, okay? See if you're going to let your little ones do this anytime soon. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, not your kid, okay, a goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Next time you see a leopard in the wild, the last thing you're thinking of is little Johnny. You want to go out there and play with the leopard? Lead it to our car? What's going to happen when you see a black bear next time you're camping? Hopefully you're getting away from that thing. Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp of the snake. Are we doing that now? And I think it's funny, there are people who are amillennialists who believe that we are already in the kingdom. Can we do that? No. We cannot do that, and we should not do that. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Verse 9 here. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, this is a comparison here to just as expansive as the ocean is and how deep the ocean is. We've only discovered 2%. Isn't that scary to think of? I have never been in the ocean in the middle of the night. I don't plan to be. But that would be a fear. Having no idea what is below me or how deep it goes, no way. I own a diver watch, which is meant to go diving with, but I have no intent of using it for that purpose. You know, if I can't breathe underwater, I assume that's not why God made me, so I'm going to stay above the water. But just as expansive as the sea is, so will the knowledge of the Lord be in the kingdom. I remember when we would go on vacation one year, we went to all the we went to the Grand Canyon and all the surrounding parks there. It was the greatest trip of my life. I thank my uncle so much for investing in us in that way. But I remember learning about the bison. Okay, and they'd have very graphic pictures. It was just a drawing, but they'd have the bison charging a man, and the man was up in the air, and he had been hit in the back. And the education was, don't go near these animals, because they will put their head down and they will charge you. And you know what? They still had to have that sign up years and years later, because what did people do? They went by the bison, and they got speared, and many people will die because of that. It's not how it is intended to be. I don't think that animals were naturally supposed to be violent. I don't think that God created these animals to the purpose of death and attacking one another. These are His creations. Isn't it amazing when you look at the marine life? When you look at coral reefs and different fish and all those different things, just how amazing. Next time you have a chance, you go on YouTube, look up the anatomy of a whale's eye. And it is amazing how that eye works. These are all part of God's creation. And sin has damaged them. Sin has brought this lasting curse, not just upon you and me, but upon the entire world. So we see here, we've talked about the natural kingdom, and then we've talked about the animal kingdom. Now, of course, in regards to the race of mankind, we have two aspects here. And you know this verse, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is the universality of sin. Every single person falls under sin, okay? And then as far as the totality of sin, consider this here. They are all gone out of the way. Every single one of us are gone out of the way. Now, the Calvinist takes this to the extreme, and you should know and understand this. They use this type of scripture to prove the doctrine of total depravity. So they will say, no, a person can't even believe on Christ until God works in them first. That's taking it too far. We all still have a free will. We can all still respond with faith to believe on Jesus Christ. It doesn't bar us just because of sin. What sin does in regards to depravity is it makes it impossible for you to save yourself. It's not possible. You're born into it. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Even the humanitarian side and efforts, there's none. There is no fear or reverential respect of God before their eyes. I want you to think about this for a moment. We have in Revelation chapter 19 the description of the last great battle before the Lord comes back, Armageddon, in which the Antichrist and the armies of this world will turn against who they know to be God, and they will try to fight Him. And He will come back, and the word will come out of His mouth as a sword. And as it says in Hebrews 4:12, that His word pierces of the joint and the marrow, people will literally, they'll be done. The blood will rise very high. But see, isn't it amazing to see the extent of man's rebellion in sin. It seems like the most successful comedy routines on this earth somehow find a way to mock God incessantly. They have no fear. They have no concern before their eyes for God. Verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." So just in conclusion here, as we've talked about the extent, there are three things we need to understand in regards to the realm of sin for the entire world. The first one of those is that man, we commit sin in our conduct. The way that we work, the way that we get things done, we're committing sin. The second thing here is that we are totally void of righteousness. There's no righteousness that will matter anything to God within natural man. And then finally here, we're conceived in sin, we're born in sin, and therefore, by nature, we are sinners. Now, next week, we'll talk about the penalties of sin in regards to six or seven different areas that the Scripture enlightens us about. But what I want you to understand here tonight is how wonderful and how necessary it is that you get born again. Okay? We can't make ourselves better. When you get saved, it's not God claiming your flesh as a project that he's going to work on to make it perfect one day. No, he gives you exactly the very thing that you need, a new nature. And when that new nature is born into your body, it is born of God. It cannot commit not one single act of sin. So there is a part of you that resides within you that commits no sin. Now the struggle of the Christian life becomes walking in that spirit and not walking in the sin-cursed flesh. It's the sin-cursed flesh that causes discord among brethren. It's the sin-cursed flesh that is easily open to addictions. The Spirit knows none of those things. And this will be a struggle for your entire life. We don't need artificial intelligence. We need a new nature. We need a Savior, someone who has paid for our sin debt, which we owe to God. And that's Jesus Christ. And hallelujah for that. Amen? That we can know that within us is a new creation. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. If you can understand that, and let me tell you, there's a lot of Christians that don't understand that. If you can understand that, you will begin to experience victory in your Christian life. As you read your Bible and study, the Holy Spirit will illuminate things to you. You'll grow in knowledge. I'll say this. I've seen a lot of people recently, within the past 2 weeks, that know the gospel. They know what the gospel is not, but they do not know their Bibles. They don't know their Bibles. Now, how is that possible? It's possible because they started with the gospel, and then they never grew into anything else. They never continued to learn and grow. No, Jesse, that's not possible. Let me introduce you to the church at Corinth. Let me introduce you to the audience of the Hebrews, in which Paul says to them, "I have many things that I would tell you, but I can't, because you're dull of hearing. You lack knowledge." There are Christians out there that cannot chew on the tough meat. And for you and me, we would think that's not even difficult. But they haven't learned and they haven't grown. And they're stunted. And ultimately, they can't be as effective as they would otherwise. Now, you're here tonight on a service that's not very well attended. It's in the middle of the week. It's hard for people to get here. And I understand that. It's not a critique. I want you to be applying the things that you learn. Don't let me be the only time you're in your Bible the rest of this week. I am not a replacement for the study of God's Word, for the personal study of God's Word. And I should be in my Bible before the next time that I step into this pulpit, prepared not with some funky new idea straight from me, but with just the Word. A lot of people have replaced that Bible study with something else. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. And I encourage you to be here next week as we'll conclude this study on sin. I hope it's been beneficial to you. And for those that are watching on the internet or even here in the audience, you can know for sure that you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever is you, the world is you, and if you have no assurance that you're going to heaven, or you think there's something you have to complete or that you've yet to complete in order to get there, you're missing the point. You can get saved and have that blessed assurance right now by simply taking God at his word that Jesus Christ, God made flesh and dwelt among us, his death, burial, and resurrection was the full payment for your sin. The moment you do that, you're born of God. You are born again. And all the things that happen to you in this body, whether it be good or bad, you will be with the Lord one day. And that's a guarantee from his word. And I encourage you, if you've yet to believe on Jesus Christ, don't delay. Do it today. And that's the same call for those on the live stream as well. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Father, we rejoice greatly for the gospel message, but Lord, we're still struggling with the effects of sin. All of us here are struggling with our sin nature. It wins battles every single day, but we know that it's not going to win the war. But Lord, with the time that we do have left here on earth, I pray that we would be focused on walking in the Spirit. By doing so, reaching people that would not otherwise be reached with the gospel. By doing so, learning how to rightly divide the word of truth, that we can be an approved workman, unashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth. I pray, Lord, that we can learn to do that. We pray for our community, the opportunities that we have with the ministries that already exist to help people not better themselves, but to help them to become born again. I ask that you bless us, Lord, for the worship practice after this, and we pray, Lord, that we can have a good study on Saturday. In Jesus' name we pray these things.